Hey everybody, this is Lex Rofberg, and we're giving a little bit of a preamble before this episode as one of our High Holiday episodes. Initially, it was released in 2016/5777, right at the beginning of 5777, as we entered that new year. But we're re-releasing it this year because we think that these conversations about the Torah readings and Haftorah readings from the High Holidays are still relevant. And we didn't re-record new ones. We, as much as our ideas changed, they haven't changed so much that we have whole new takes on these texts. But we wanted to put them out there for you anyway, to, if you listened the first time, revisit, and if you didn't, to visit for the first time. So we hope you enjoy these, and send us whatever feedback you've got at dan@judaismunbound.com or lex@judaismunbound.com. Shana Tova, Happy New Year.
This is a special edition of Judaism Unbound, the High Holiday Readings. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dan Liebenson.
And I'm Lex Rofus.
And we're here with a special edition of Judaism Unbound today that actually is putting together a number of shorter pieces that you can find on our website, www.judaismunbound.com, in our special section on the High Holidays. We're going to be talking about each of the traditional readings for the High Holidays and looking at them with a Judaism Unbound perspective to try to find a way to see whether these traditional readings can still be relevant to us today as we potentially look at these holidays in a new way.
For our next text, we are looking at the Haftorah reading for the second day of Rosh Hashanah traditionally, and that is Jeremiah chapter 31. And in terms of context here, for those who aren't so familiar with Jeremiah, Jeremiah is one of the books of the major prophets. And Jeremiah, the figure, is known for living during and after the time of the destruction of Judah. And really, so he's one of the prophets that, in the term prophetic voice that we often use, is really looking at the actions of the rest of the Israelite nation with respect to that, and discussing the extent to which, you know, Israelite behavior led to this destruction. And what we have here in chapter 31, it's a long chapter, but in particular, we have a passage in the middle that refers to Rachel, who, of course, comes from the book of Genesis, but makes an appearance here. The element of verse 14, which talks about Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children. And it continues on and mentions Ephraim. And we were interested in that and how it relates to Ephraim as one of the sort of founding fathers of the Northern Kingdom, which we've been exploring lately. So Dan, did you want to look at that at all?
Right. Again, traditionally, I think that this passage is sort of seen as relevant to the High Holidays because it's this idea that God still loves us no matter what happens. And, you know, we can sort of depend on God still loving us, and the gates of repentance are always open. You know, there's still this chance of repentance, I guess. But what's interesting to me in looking at this text is how it's pretty much focused on the Northern Kingdom, that Ephraim is actually in the Bible kind of a synonym for the Northern Kingdom, and certainly one of the main tribes of the Northern Kingdom. And so when the text says, you know, I can hear Ephraim lamenting, what it really means is not only the character mm-hmm. Ephraim, but also the nation Ephraim, or the Northern Kingdom of Israel. And Rachel too, right, the wife of Jacob, Rachel, was the mother of two children, and one of whom became two tribes. She was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin, and Joseph became the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And all three of those tribes were members of the Northern Kingdom. Saul, the first king of the north, was from Benjamin, and other kings were from Ephraim, and I think there might also be kings from Manasseh. And so what we're really looking at when we have this famous line, thus saith the Lord, a cry is heard in Ramah, wailing, bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children who are gone. That's a famous line of lament for the destruction of the Northern Kingdom and the exile and the carrying off of the Northern Kingdom by the Assyrians into Assyria, and this idea that they became the 10 lost tribes. One of the things historically that I think is sort of interesting thinking about this text And again, based on the discoveries of modern scholarship in archaeology, is that it seems, again, now pretty clear from the discoveries of archaeologists that a tremendous number of refugees from the destruction of the Northern Kingdom came in to live in Judah after the destruction of the Northern Kingdom. So we think of them all as having been carried off as the 10 lost tribes. And it's true that some of them were carried off as and got lost. But some of them weren't lost at all. They were literally in Jeremiah's backyard. And he knew that, right? He must have known that. I mean, this was not a secret. In fact, the archaeologists have found that the geographical land area of Jerusalem and the population of Jerusalem exploded right after the destruction of the Northern Kingdom. So really, it may very well be that a majority of the population of Judah were Northerners. And I think it's sort of fascinating to think about Jeremiah writing in this time, that he might have been writing these words for an audience of Northerners. So they were maybe lamenting the carrying off of many of their fellow Northerners. But also there's a message here. Maybe it's a message of inclusion, right? Maybe it's a message from a Judean prophet to say to these Northerners, these new Jews, basically, or new Judeans, right, that you are part of us too, right? God loves you too. And so rather than thinking about this text as a story that's about, you know, that the gates of redemption are always open, I wonder if this is if this could also be read as a text about loving and welcoming the new members of our community, you know, and for me, it's thinking about, you know, again, thinking about the high holidays as not only a time for individual atonement and individual self-reflection, but for communal atonement and communal self-reflection, then I wonder if a text like this, viewed through its historical lens, may be a text that helps us center ourselves on the question of, you know, who are the Jews? Who is part of our community? Are we being sufficiently open-minded in thinking about who are the members of the community of people who we're talking about as being the architects of the future form of Judaism? And in the same way that again, the historical record tells us that the North, in some way, whether willingly or not, did open itself up to the refugees. The South, whether intentionally or not, did open itself up to the refugees, dare I say, the immigrants from the North, and said, we are now creating an expanded polity, an expanded society where we're going to have to put our stories together, and we're going to now call all of us the people of Israel. You know, what would that look like? What would that look like for us today? So that's the direction that that this text is pulling me in as I read it this year, especially through the lens of what we've been talking about on the podcast over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, whatever it's been, where one of the themes that has been dominant in our thinking is this question of, you know, expanding the number of people that we're considering when we're talking about the Jews, whether those are various kinds of Jews that may be of racial minorities or other kinds of non-normative type of Jews in terms of what has been thought of as a Jew for the last while. And also thinking about non-Jews, whether they're our spouses or other kinds of people that are part of this world and taking it, or really just thinking about the Jews who really are Ashkenazi and just they're not intermarried, but they're just kind of not too interested in the types of approaches to Judaism that we have today, you know, it's too often the case that they get written off, you know, and what would it look like if we had a Jeremiah today who would call us to be our better selves and create that big tent and think about us as a single people and think about God loving the people who are not the ones that are generally thought of as the center of the loved people.
Yeah, I love that message, and I think it really is there in this text. I look at the second verse of chapter 31, and it talks about loving with an ahavat olam, which people might recognize from the evening liturgy, but with an eternal love. So when you talk about expanding the bounds of who we think of as Jews, who we think of as part of this whole people that that we are somehow traveling onward with. I think that that's 100% there. I'm also intrigued because the tone of this text is really interesting. The word, when I hear Jeremiah, even we have the modern word Jeremiad to refer to sort of a lament, because Jeremiah, by the way, is attributed with the Book of Lamentations, which traditionally is read on the fast holiday in the summer of the 9th of Av. But what we have here is definitely a reassuring kind of message in certain ways.
Yeah, and this is one of these that, you know, it's not a story, so it's a little hard to kind of just summarize and, you know, really just kind of say, and the meaning of the story is, you know, so, and this is one of those right. texts that I would encourage people to look at, but to look at from the lens of understanding that Jeremiah is writing at a time in which the Northern Kingdom has been destroyed, that scholars tell us that there are many Northern refugees in the South, and Jeremiah knew that, and somehow he was talking to them and talking about them, and to really look at what he's saying and ask ourselves, what would Jeremiah be saying in our day?
Yeah, it's a big question to ponder. We hope you've enjoyed our reflections on this reading for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Haftorah reading. We would love you to check out our other recordings on the various texts of Rosh Hashanah. There's three others available, and you can find them on iTunes or Google Play, wherever you generally get our podcast, or on our website, JudaismUnbound.com, and you can find it under the High Holidays Unbound section in the Listen and Learn track. We hope you'll give those a listen and stay tuned for our Yom Kippur texts that are going to be coming out very soon. And with that, this has been Judaism Unbound.